Oh, shit. This is for messing with my head, bro.
Guess that means we're going. What's up, everybody? It's episode 55 of the Fantasy Football Breakdown. Dude, I feel like it has been way too long since we did the last one. Nice little break there, but I am ready. Are you ready?
I want to say it's been like 11 days.
It's way too long. But it's perfect time to jump into some introducing people to Dynasty.
Some Dynasty newbies? Do a Dynasty newbies episode?
I like it. I definitely reached out and I was going to say touched people. That sounds bad. Spoke with some people that have never been in Dynasty before. Got a couple people from work. Got some people off of Twitter. Hit up the Fantasy Life app. So definitely some questions all around.
Were any of those guys Detroit Pistons fans?
That I did not ask.
Any of them LA Clippers fans?
I don't know if there's a lot of Clippers fans anymore. That was a short window.
Yeah, but it made a star. And we got him.
Talk about Blake. Go ahead. I was going to wait forever.
I know, man. And you brought it up. So, dude, I think it's kind of exciting, man. I mean, his first game here, I mean, wow. Like, we haven't had that in the Palace in a while. So, and it's not the Palace anymore. It's not even the Palace. So, right. And with that said, I think at the new arena, I think to have a star like Blake Griffin is really important to ownership. And it's going to help fill some seats. It's going to sell some jerseys. I think it's exciting to have Blake Griffin on. Hopefully he can stay healthy, but
yeah, maybe build a dynasty in Detroit.
Yeah, we'll
look
see.
Look at that segue. Boom. All right.
Let's stop
talking about your basketball.
buy your winter coat, Blake.
Yeah, that's a big change.
So
I'm not gonna shit on Detroit. I've never been there, but I'm just guessing like LA's probably a little better.
I bet we have less smog. And I bet you it's healthier for his lungs. And I bet both places have their disadvantages. And I bet the eye appease in LA is a lot better. But after that, I mean, I don't know.
I'll take the 70s most of the year. You can keep that cold stuff, but that's why I'm down here.
70s don't got Blake Griffin. So it don't matter.
Fair enough. You gonna let me jump into this yet, or you want to keep talking about your Pistons?
No, I'm excited about it. Yeah, what do you think about it? As a basketball fan, not a Pistons fan, like super quick, and we'll get out of this because
as a basketball fan, I mean, I don't think there was much else going on there in LA after Chris Paul left, so that's kind of blah there. So, I mean, you might as well come to the East. It's a little easier to win on this side. Blake's an interesting piece to work there with him and Drummond. So I'm excited for you up there. Like that'll be fun. I definitely want to go see a game, you know, if I was living up there,
yeah,
probably
for sure.
More so now than I did a week ago. So, all right. I think that's enough.
Maybe you too.
Maybe we come back. But so literally these are people that have never played Dynasty before, probably really good redraft players, or at least, you know, definitely been around that part of it for a while. But some of these might seem a little more simple to others, but I think they're at least open for discussion and we can kind of run through them. So I'm just going to start right from the top. Is how does it work compared to a just regular redraft league for you? Or I guess define, you know, what Dynasty really means to you compared to those redraft leagues.
I mean, it's a lot different, man. I mean, I think that everything changes a little bit. You don't have players anymore. You have stock options, like pull your heart out and just devalue the humanity in all of those players and look at them as equity. You know what I mean? Sort of.
Yeah, definitely get what you're saying there.
And I mean, also, like, there's a long-term commitment. Like, you're starting a relationship with hopefully at least 12 people, maybe upwards to 16, you know. So I think that the relationship you're going to be building there with those people is a little bit differently than something you're doing in redraft. There's no redo in Dynasty, but it's never over.
Season never stops. Yeah. When the redraft finishes after that week 17 or what should be 16 and all that goes away and you don't talk to those people anymore.
Man. Yeah. And I mean, man,
that's when things kick up.
Yep.
People still itching to keep it going
in redraft. I mean, you might be a bad team in week 6 and you're done. And that league becomes so uninteresting for you. You know that your team is pretty bad. If you're making trades with the top seed, it almost looks bad to the league. But in Dynasty, I mean, if you're that crappy team, you can start to look to your future and still build your Dynasty. And know that maybe you're out of contention this year, but I mean, you can still trade with that number one team and not feel bad about it because you're looking to your own personal future. So I don't know. Dynasty is a lot of fun.
No, totally, totally agree. My topics, I try to write down kind of in order, but I can already tell we're just going to kind of jump around a little bit. So kind of going off what you said there, how about Dynasty size for somebody new to the game? What would you recommend? Like a 10 man, 12, you know, you said upwards of 16. I know you're in a crazy 32. That's definitely not for the faint of heart. That's for the most addict of all kind of degenerate there, but somebody new, where would you go? Like, and maybe even like, let's talk about, you know, the type of dynasty leagues.
Well, I mean, okay. So I think that you want to be in a 12 man league. I think that 12 teams is ideal. If you are going 10, I hope that you have a couple extra flex spots, like, cause you do want to clear a little bit. You don't want to have as much guys available on waivers as you would in a redraft league. For a beginner dynasty league, you might not want to go as deep as some of the leagues you and I are in together.
Right.
But, I think you want 12 teams. Like these days, I want 12 teams. And I think that if you're going to make the change to Dynasty and you're in a 10-team league now, while you're making that change, just make the change and add two teams.
Okay. Let's take a little pause right there on that one. Are you in any 10-man Dynasty leagues currently? I know you're – how many Dynasty leagues are you in, just kind of off the top of your head?
I am currently in between 12 and 15.
Dynasties?
Yes.
Okay. Are any of those 10-mans?
Two of them are 10-man leagues.
Okay.
And
are those just regular, or do you get into super flex, two quarterback with those?
They are both at least super flex.
Okay.
One of them, you start two tight ends. You have like three flex. I mean, those 10-man leagues...
You have to do that.
They're very deep. Like they are very competitive in their own way. Like there's something added to them that makes, you know what I mean? Like one could use a little bit of tweaking, and the commissioner's already like mentioned some stuff he's going to do to clear up some of the depth off the waivers. But, but I mean, you're starting a lot of guys like very highly competitive leagues still. So,
no, totally agree. That's just, I kind of want to mention, I'm in one 10-man Dynasty League, but it is a super flex. So I think that's the only way you should get away with a 10-man, and I think we have three extra flexes in that league. So again, we try to take away some of that depth. The views and redraft, probably not used to not being able to get stuff on the waiver, and I think to the Dynasty people, that's what it's all about, is there shouldn't be many options on the waiver. You want to draft that and hold on to it, or trade for those depth pieces and kind of watch them bloom, you know, on your team as they come up. Yeah. And that's that, you know, part where you were talking about earlier about their equity, their stock. So you also want to sell when you can at peak value.
Yep.
That's hard to do sometimes, especially when you have a guy for a while or you know what I mean, or traded a lot for and didn't quite work out. It's kind of hard to, you know, sometimes pull that trigger and get out while you can, or realize the chance of it coming back up is, you know, slimmer than
not. I mean, a bad example of that, and who knows when it'll be a good example, is how many times have people gotten out from under Larry Fitzgerald, and then he's still a top five wide receiver.
Very true.
So there are those situations as well where you sell somebody for a third round pick just because you know his time is coming, and then mid season you could have got a first for him easy.
Yeah, not to the same extent more recently, but Frank Gore, you know, they talked about that forever, and they still, you know, still say that is, you know, this is the first time, I think, in quite a while that Frank didn't finish as a top 12 running back this year, which just, I feel like he's 40, but he's really not.
One thing, too, you know, just to make sure we stay jumping around a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that one thing that's important for a redrafter going into Dynasty is to make sure that you do not have roster limitations. Like, that's one thing. I was doing a Dynasty draft last year with somebody that had never set one up before. And league went okay and everything, but one thing at the beginning, like, there were roster limitations, and all of a sudden you get to this point, you're like, whoa, I can't draft another running back? Like, and that's devastating for me. But, I mean, even your quarterbacks, your two quarterbacks, like, any of those leagues, like, there should be no roster limitations. Like, you should be able to draft 10 wide receivers, 10 running backs, all the quarterbacks if you want to. Future players that aren't playing, like, you want to have no roster limitations. I don't know. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree to that. I get what you're saying. I don't know. I wouldn't, man. Like, I don't want to be in that league where you get that one person that's like, all right, and then they use all their picks on, you know, quarterbacks or something. I've definitely heard of that happening, like, more like in redraft situations, mm-hmm. and then making you trade for them. And my only explanation of that is, A, that person sucks.
Agreed.
B, don't give in.
Agreed. I agree with
both. Give what they want. Let them die on the vine, because at some point they can only start, even in Superflex or whatever, you can only start the two. So
no matter how stubborn that person is, I believe that he just made your quarterback value in your league actually drop. Just exactly. Because, and I mean, like Two Drinks said, do not give in. Let that guy have those quarterbacks. He's not a viable team now. He's not a threat. Go get Flacco and tell him to screw off.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And I'm not saying to go get Flacco.
Right. That's your boy. That's cool.
But you know what I mean? Yeah, don't give in. But at the same time, I mean, you could have drafted a quarterback at any time when this idiot was doing that. So it's on you. You know, you saw the quarterback run. You could have jumped in any time and grabbed Phillip Rivers or Stafford a lot cheaper, but you let that team continue to take all of whatever position. You know what I mean?
So kind of on that note, and I do have a bunch of draft questions all grouped together, and I'm going to try to stay out of this for a little bit, but on that note, you pay attention to all the teams in your league during a startup, you know, what they're doing and filling out roster spots and stuff like that to make sure you don't, I mean, that's a very crazy situation. That's not going to happen, you know, 99,000 times out of 10 or whatever. But
no, I know a guy.
I do know a guy that might do that. All right. So
I know a quarterback guy.
Do you know a quarterback guy?
CMC Ocho, he will take quarterbacks just for that reason. He's done it in a couple of startups I've been in with him, and he'll all of a sudden have like five quarterbacks that you wouldn't mind having, and the price is sky high, and you're just like, dude, like, I wouldn't pay that. Like, I don't know what you were thinking, man, but
I mean, all it takes is one to give in, though, yeah. You know what I mean? And kind of set that value. So I can get it, but just a reason. See, it does kind of happen out there.
And I will
and
do
if he
it
gets
with,
that value for it, then more power to him.
I like will do said, it with running backs, but not for trade bait, just because that's how I like to build my teams.
Sure. No, I gotcha. All right. So you've been running a redraft league for a long time. You're the commish. I know you commish quite a few dynasties. You're the commish of a redraft league, but it's like your home league. It's been going on forever. Are there certain things you can do to make, you know, present that to the group? Let's make it a dynasty. Would you keep it exactly the same, you know, kind of roster construction and all like that? How is there a way that you would decide, you know, startup picks? Would you do it by the last redraft or,
all right,
you know, would you set that in motion in a while? I'm asking you a lot here. So
are we assuming that everybody in this league is all in on this change? Like, we're in going dynasty at least? Like,
yeah. That's how I took it, I guess.
I mean, I would say you're making a big change just going into dynasty. So probably keep your scoring kind of similar to what it's been in the past. Even maybe add a flex spot or a wide receiver spot, because I do think you should draft at least, depending on the size, I mean, you're probably going to want to open up your benches at least 4 to 5 extra spots. So But man, if everybody's all in, yeah, I would just say keep it kind of similar. Draft position, dude, I think that if you're starting a new league, like it should have nothing to do with your redraft league from last year. Maybe fill out a bracket, do some March Madness or something like that. Something fun to instantly get your league involved together, because again, that it's all about that camaraderie in Dynasty and hopefully having a good group. And I mean, in any group, there's going to be somebody you don't get along with, but I mean, try to coexist, because that could be a trade partner. Trade partners are more important in Dynasty than redraft.
Yeah, I like that. All right, let's kind of keep it going. Kind of on the same lines here a little bit. If you've never done a Dynasty league, would you recommend just jumping right into full Dynasty, or how do you feel about a keeper league? Is that kind of dipping your toe in the water? You're right in the shallow end, or you want to go right in the deep end?
I think I did a lot of redraft leagues before I went into Dynasty, and I think I was naive to think that I would be ready for Dynasty just because of my redraft leagues. So I think that they're completely different. I think if you feel like you're ready for what we're talking about, you just jump right into Dynasty, and there's going to be a learning curve no matter what. Be patient. Don't be afraid to ask somebody questions. I mean, you know what I mean? If there's somebody in your league that has been in Dynasty before, hopefully he's cool enough to where you can pull him aside and be like, hey, dude, what's this? And he's not just going to be the guy that's always trying to get one up on you. And you know what I mean? Take it slow, though. Don't just start trading your players away. Don't let that asshole take advantage of you. You know? And you know what? Like, help the new guys out if you're that asshole. Or you know what I mean? Like, truly, it's going to make your league better. If you want to be in a league that you're completely taking advantage of everybody week after week and year after year, like, I like to manipulate a trade in my advantage as much as the next guy. But if you just want to, like, plow through a league every year, like, what's the fun of that?
Yep. Good call. Yep. How's well said. About, is there a better time to join, a Dynasty league, like during the year? So let's say we're going to make one, and we can do it off the fact that, you know, off that last story about doing the redraft league or whatever, you know, would you, you know, keep that going right away, you know, right as the season ended, or playoffs, talk about it during that previous season, or, you know, wait till rookies come out?
Man, does it matter? I'm a little bit torn. At first I wanted to say, for the fun of it, like, do two separate drafts and then have your rookie draft. But yep. I don't know if it would be more, like, less confusing for the first year just to have one big draft, you know? Because you can, I mean, trading rookie picks and stuff like that, I mean, you can have a lot of fun in Dynasty. Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. I kind of want you to experience that rookie draft, though.
I would totally agree. So, I do have some more questions about taking over as an orphan team, and I'm going to kind of jump to that just so I can get to my story. So, orphan team, that term just means if, like, somebody has left that team and then you take that over. Sometimes it means that team is crap. Sometimes it means, you know, the person just doesn't want to play anymore or whatever. That's actually how I got into Dynasty, but mine's a little different, as mine happened midway during the startup draft. That's how I got started in Dynasty. They had gone through about 9 rounds, and I don't know if I really don't know. I think there was a bit of a rift between one of the people and, you know, the team I took over for and the other people in there. And I was like, sure, I'll jump in. And kind of took it over there. So, I mean, orphan wise, I'm assuming you have a couple orphans. How do you?
Do you I have like two that orphans. Idea? I love it. But I, you know, and so what you did was a little bit different than a traditional orphan.
True.
You've told me about this team before, so I don't know where that team was at. Like, personally, though, I was gonna say, if you're new to Dynasty, don't adopt a team. Have your own baby. Those just make, like, for your first time, like, have it be your problems, your benefits, anything, you know, have it all be yours. Jumping into somebody else's good team or bad team just doesn't, you don't have the same ownership. The feelings are a lot different. If I take an orphan team on, it's all on the block. That's not my team until the last offensive player is gone, even if it takes me a year and a half. And then I'll start playing. So, and that just happened in that 32-team dynasty. I had Braxton Miller for the last year and a half, and I finally got rid of Braxton Miller. So excited. So I started building my team. But
interesting.
And, I mean, I just don't want it, you know? I don't – if Braxton Miller does good – and I have Braxton Miller shares, as embarrassing as that is at this point, but –
as do I. If
Braxton Miller does good, I want it to be my idea, not...
Okay.
You know what I mean, kind of? Like,
no, I gotcha.
It just feels better than taking on... I mean, I traded a lot away. I had a lot of guys that you know that I like. I had... It was a... I mean, AJ Green was on that team, Kelsey.
Yeah.
I mean, I went until this team was completely nobody on it that I owned. I got Mitch Trubisky in that league today. It's a super flex league. Last year, I played with Brent Huntley and Bradford. So I have no quarterback right now. Today I traded away a 2019 first and a 2020 first and got Mitch Trubisky. So I have a quarterback and it's so freaking amazing, dude. I can't tell you how good I feel. And man, I mean, I've got tons of picks. Like, orphan teams are fun, but yeah, I'm blowing an orphan team up. And I mean, that's a lot of work though. Like, it, I don't know, man. I don't know how you feel about that. So let's go back to your team. You were 9 rounds in, you said, approximately. Like, how did you feel about that team when you looked at it? Did he do a good job?
It, you know, being my first even experience with Dynasty, it was definitely overwhelming. And looking at it, you know, I had Amari Cooper and Sammy Watkins and Kevin White. So this was 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So that's how long I've been playing. I wasn't stoked even about Kevin White then. And obviously that, you know, that pick probably hurt, but I still own quite a few players from that team. So I definitely didn't do it the same way. 9 rounds in, I already had 2 quarterbacks and it was a 1 quarterback league. So I wasn't stoked there either, but it was Cam and Winston. And unfortunately, I still have both of those as well on that team.
Yeah, that's a little different, though. That was a draft.
Right. But. The other thing I will say, and kind of what you were, or piggyback off on you, when I joined that group, it was true vultures. Like,
oh, yeah.
I got emails from everywhere and DMs and stuff all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was talking with that last guy, and we were
fresh meat, dude.
I really like this one, and we were close on this deal, and I'm like, holy crap, hold on a second. Like, I need to breathe on my team for a second. And I end up making a lot of moves and trading draft picks and stuff in that startup that I probably didn't really understand early on enough of, you know, and probably ate a little bit of that, you know, that side of most of those picks there.
Mm-hmm.
But I like my team moving forward. I've hit some injuries and I'm still towards the bottom of that league, but that's one I when I kind of looked at it, was like, it's going to take me a little bit to get this one better. And
yeah,
sometimes you hit, sometimes you don't.
That first time somebody offers you a 2019 third round rookie pick, it's not as good as it sounds. It's nothing close to right. a third round pick. It's
right.
It's who knows, you know, at best it's Tariq Cohen last year, somebody like that, Kenny Galladay, you know what I mean? It's not.
Which sounds good now.
Sure, but, sure. I was saying some best cases, though. Yep.
That aren't even on practice squads already.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's crazy. Be nice to the orphans, you know, when they jump in.
Oh, yeah. But, man, I'm glad you brought that up because you do get vultured. Like, I mean, it's fresh meat. Everybody's hungry. They've been looking at this team for who knows how long. In your case, it was a few rounds. In other cases, I mean, it might have been a year or two. This guy wouldn't trade the players to him. People know this team, what they want off it, and they're like, boom, hey, what about this guy? Like, who knows what you think about the guy. The other guy might have been his favorite player, but you might be like, oh, I hate him.
Exactly. Or they come in an orphan and it's like you and they want to get rid of every single piece there. Like, who knows?
Yep. And it's fun. It's just fun.
I've joked about vulturing for sure. Like, it's funny. You can literally smell it when there's some new blood around.
Yeah. I mean, but man, now that team has McCaffrey on it. It's got Dalvin Cook. I've got Corey Davis. I mean,
there you go,
man.
Yeah. I'm waiting on that orphan team I was, you know, telling you about. That was one. I had one-on-one last year, traded away, ended up with Dalvin Cook and Kamara. Have Derrick Henry sitting on that bench ready to pop this year.
Oh, man.
And we do it a little bit differently for rookie picks and how we determine that. So we haven't quite figured it out yet, which is, it's a little disheartening, but I get it. There's a lot of stuff going on, but at worst, I'm going to have the 102 in that league this year again. So
what do you mean at worst? How do you figure it out?
So we came up with a rule, or actually we found it on a website somewhere, and I will find out where that is and get that out to everybody. But it's a anti-tanking rule, or mm-hmm. I think I've talked to you a little bit about it, but it's good for here if you're starting one up. So what happens is, whatever size your league is, the amount of teams that do not make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever teams do not make the playoffs, they are not seeded accordingly. So, you know, that last place team who decided halfway through they weren't going to make the playoffs and doesn't even start a roster or whatever, they're not guaranteed that 101 next year. What happens is all the points are compiled from your team, and the best or your optimal scoring lineup, almost like a best ball setting where, you know, that just takes the best points scored at each position,
yeah,
is put in your lineup. And that's what your score is. And then your score is added up for the regular season weeks. And the lowest score, the worst team, the true worst team in the league, is the one that gets the 101, and so forth. And then once it gets through those teams and the playoffs teams are done by their seeding and, you know, win loss there.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's a little different.
I get it.
So the one thing I thought about that I don't know. So what if, like, let's say you're, I don't know, you're team 11 and I'm team 12, however you want to do it, but you'll get what I'm saying in a second here.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you've got like a few players that do moderately well, like let's say flex worthy,
mm-hmm,
and then the rest of your players suck. They hardly put up points. Now, I feel like your team is kind of stronger because of those flex worthy players, but what if I've got like, instead of like your three that were kind of flex worthy and then your three crappy, what if I have six like guys that are hardly flex worthy, but they still put up more points than yours because you've got all those zeros on your bench?
I gotcha. I mean, yeah, if you're holding a bunch of like practice squad guys on your team and getting zeros for those, you know, waiting to pop because you have enough to kind of fill out a roster even through bye weeks. All right. I mean, I get your point there. That's also a bench roster of 25. It might even be 30 now. So it's a little harder to do with numbers that big. I mean, everybody has some practice squad guys on there too.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely get your point. And I mean, I feel like,
I think there's always a way to tank.
Sure, but I think it's harder, or you're giving up more to anticipate to tank in the scoring method that we have,
yeah,
rather than just somebody. Well, I have Aaron Rodgers and
I think it's fair.
You know, Chad Henne on my team, and I'm going to start Chad Henne this week, even though Rodgers is healthy, because I know Henne's going to give me a zero, and I can't make the playoffs anyways. So
how do you feel about tanking?
I am a component of like trading away stuff for picks. You know what I mean? As that point gets in the season where you kind of figure that out, and I guess in my head classify that differently than tanking. Like
how is that any different?
Because I'm getting that pick back, and then I'm still having to put a player in that spot that I have. Like, it's not somebody, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
in the scoring that we do, regardless of a guy that I put in my slot gets one or 15 on the bench, it's going to be counted as 15 for my team. So I think it, I think the way that, that that's the only dynasty league I have that way. I think the way that it is so far has shown to work.
And I don't, I think it's pretty fair, like, honestly, but I just think there's always going to be a way to tank. Like, if I trade away DeAndre Hopkins for Odell Beckham Jr. and Hunt for Dalvin Cook, and you know what I mean? And I know those are extreme cases, but you could go right down the line, and there's always a way to get less points.
No, I gotcha. But, I mean, I guess you, it would be a little bit more integrity-based there. I mean, if you want Dalvin or Hunt, you know what I mean? Like, that's up to you. Like, if you feel like you need more with it or whatever, it's still you making the call. I don't know. That's
I mean, it is my intent to win in every league that I'm in. And I feel like if you can get to the playoffs, enough can usually happen when you can make it there. But yeah, like you're saying, there comes a point or on some teams where you're just like, wow, I can't compete with these guys. Like, my team is not ready for this. And I mean, you can't have a little bit of Jets in you.
The Jets that went and won a bunch of games?
They did, yeah. Bad example. But I mean, you know what I'm saying. Like,
no, I gotcha. I gotcha.
I don't know. I just don't – I don't think that there's much of a difference between not rostering the correct guy or starting the correct guy as trading away your players for picks and injured guys. I don't think there's much of a difference. I think it's a very fine line, and it's just kind of like, eh. Such a fine line that I'm like, eh, let it go. I don't care is kind of my point, I guess. And none of it bothers me.
I don't want to be – I guess, you know, at the end of the season there – like trying to make the playoffs and see my, you know, the person my opponent is playing is whoever.
Yeah.
You know, that Chad Henne instead of Rodgers. Sure, I mean, it doesn't really help my argument to the scoring on the other side, but just maybe look or intent of players in my league and what we're all shooting for here, I guess, is more along the lines there.
Yeah, definitely. And to your point, like, it does suck if all of a sudden, like, one team squeezes their way into the playoffs because you have that team that's tanking. Yeah, for sure. I hear you there. Definitely.
And I played them at the beginning of the season, you know, when they beat me because they, you know, they still wanted it and had players or not injured or something.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, what would be your preference? Like, you're going to start a league right now. You're not really. But you want to start one right now. You've never played before. Size. Let's do roster construction.
Okay.
Superflex, 2QB, whatever you want to do there. Let's do that, and then I want to get into some of the draft stuff.
All right. Well, if I've never started one before, I want to start with 12 teams, and I'm going to skip the Superflex for now, but I do think you should do that. That's a lot of fun. But I'm going to go 12 quarterback or 12 teams, one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, two flex spots, and get rid of the kicker, maybe a defense, if not a couple IDP players. But if you haven't played with IDP, I don't think you should put it in your first dynasty league. But if
no
you have,
newbies like, to IDP for me.
Yeah.
That way.
So, and
no tight end? You didn't say tight end?
Oh, of Is course a tight end. Flex? Thank you. Of course.
Okay,
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I wanna make sure.
Yep. So we're gonna have that tight end and the two flexes. The reason for that one extra flex spot is because we are going to draft so many. We're going to go, like Two Drinks said, his you did was 25 rounds. I've done some that are 30 with 12 teams. That's a lot of players. I mean, you're going to have scrubs on your waivers, and then it makes it more fun because they're all – everybody's on your rosters. You can trade more. Air quotes, you should trade more. And every now and then you get that guy that hits – now, when that guy hits, if you decide to use all this depth, throw your fab on him. Like, just put some money down on that guy. Because at the end of the year, I don't want you to have any money left in your fab.
Correct.
That's free acquisition budget.
Would we do... Oh, nice. Good job there. Definitely, if we had some acronyms, be nice to spell them out there. Would we do full point per possession there? You want to do a little bit of carry bonus? Do you jump right into any tight end premium on a new one there where tight ends get a little extra point per PPR or something?
Man, I kind of do like that. It's tough, though. I think definitely
PPR. I think it changes, like, just the overall value of that position, because a lot of people are going to be like, no, and I think that it just, you know, you see those top-end tight ends kind of sneak back up, you know, towards the first couple of rounds that way. But so if it were me, I like all that setup there. I would probably go at least half point PPR, and maybe you fill the other half of the tight end if you want to do it that way. And I like the 0.25 carry. I think it just kind of evens that out and allows those bell cows to really, really kind of shine.
Yeah.
If it helps even out with
PPR too.
Yeah, I would agree. If I'm doing one, I'm going to say a 20-man bench, and hear me out just for a second, because I would like to add, you know, that following year when we go to rookies. And I guess we can kind of determine how many rounds. I think it's pretty standard to be 5. I don't mind that. So if we add 5 rounds, and in year 1, or 2 to slowly build. But at year 2 or at 30 bench spots, I'm going to cap
it. So year 1 or 2, you're slowly building a little bit?
Yeah, I think year 1, and I think, you know, for the brand new people in, it probably takes away a little bit of that necessity to trade in the offseason for roster spots, you know, where you're doing some 2-for-1s and, you know, trying to clear up some space but still maybe get that better player.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Side. I think that's a good idea.
But I think it allows for some ease of building into, you know, seeing these people stay on your bench and build, you know, yes, I got that right, or no, it's time to trade and hold on to some other rookies there or something like that.
Now, man. And one more thing, too.
I think 30 is my cap on the bench.
Yeah, I agree. Even like our 14-team Clock Dodger Dynasty, like, it's almost, I don't know, we almost need to lose a bench spot or something, or add a flex.
Yeah, I'm not against a flex, although my team is trash.
So, now, one thing you said, like, going through all those rules and stuff like that and making different changes to your league, like, it made me think how important communication chat is for your league.
Nice. Agreed.
The two leagues that I'm in that do not have, like, their own private chat are the two least active leagues that I'm in. And I mean, you can tell, like, the leagues are so vanilla right now. Like, nothing's happening. So, man, I think that it's very important to have that. There's probably going to be a couple people that push back on that. It's very important, though. Try to get them in it. If you can't, get as many people on board as you can. And it just even, like, it helps, again, build that camaraderie and those relationships. And, I mean, man, we're in some together that, you know, there's people there every day just kind of like BSing. Like, sometimes it's more entertaining than others. But I mean, you get to know each other, right?
Yeah, for sure. It is definitely needed. There needs to be one. And I'm, you know, I've seen some where even you have one that's just kind of dedicated to strictly league information. I have it where, like, if there are changes to be made to the league in the future, they're brought up there and kind of voted on, to, you know, kind of see where they'll be. And that is all that chat, that one is for. I have the exact same one with the exact same group of people in it that is more like a BS one where we're throwing stupid memes at each other and kind of making fun of each other or, you know, whatever. But that does not cross over into the other one. So that way, if there isn't somebody that's there for a while, needs to come in and find some important information about the league, they go to the one and it's not buried with, you know, 8 GIFs of a limp penis riding a bike.
Yep. Definitely agree. Those
that limp bad penises way around.
get the dicks out of there as quick as you can. One more thing off that, like, as far as your rules and stuff like that and those message rooms, like, it's also your responsibility to know your rules of that league and your scoring and any of that, and that's going to be important in your draft process. I've messed up a draft because I didn't know the scoring well enough where I might have done it differently, and I've watched other people do it. It can happen. I mean, it's not going to be a huge change for maybe how you would draft, but know your scoring.
That it could be, depending on, you know,
how different it is. For sure.
Yeah.
But that's all your responsibility. Man, I don't know. What else?
I hear you. I like that one. How about sight, since we're kind of talking about the group chat? I have two dynasty leagues that are on – nope, three dynasty leagues that are on ESPN. And I'm going to be honest, I do not like it at all
on ESPN. Sucks. It's just not for that.
I have to have a separate Google Doc for those leagues to control rookie picks and see who has what rookie picks.
Yep.
You have to hope that the commissioner is really on top of it or has some help to stay on top of the board being accurate and correct.
We don't all have a dem bones.
Right? You have to – I think Flea Flicker is where it's at. I don't – Is there another site out there that you like more than that?
Just I prefer Flea Flicker to MFL, but MFL greatly over ESPN for Dynasty.
Agreed.
But I like Flea Flicker.
I just like the ease of Flea Flicker and looking at future picks, you know, draft pick, rookie picks of that other team, and everything's right there. You know, you see who they obtained other picks from in the future, too, and that kind of thing. If you're serious about Dynasty, right now ESPN, you know, Yahoo, those are not the places.
How are those still on ESPN?
What do you mean, how are they still there?
I don't know. Why don't they make the move?
I don't know. It's been brought up in all of those, like, every offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And the commission is just, you know, they want to continue to run the board.
So, and that's another thing. Like, if you are the commissioner, there's going to be things like you did set up that league. You started it. You found the people to be in it. But it's not your league. It's everybody's league. Have some votes.
And it's so much easier on you as a commissioner. Because you don't have to go make a separate, you know, Google Doc and maintain it. Like, it does it for you.
Yep.
And the other good thing is
except it's done.
Right. And I believe there's no down season in Flea Flicker, right? Like, I know you can't add people if you need to orphan somebody in or whatever, there's a small down happen all the time.
Yeah.
And it can on ESPN as well through your Google Docs if you have a list of your teams, but there is a long period, you know, months on end, it seems like, where you can't propose trades on an ESPN site.
Right.
You're just holding it off on a notes sheet or your Google Doc and your team's listed, and it's really annoying.
You do not need Google Docs to run a dynasty.
No. Agreed. Man, I think that's kind of one more kind of general one here. Time consumption seems to be an overwhelming issue with some of the dynasty newbies out here, with the questions that I got, and just how much time does it, you know, they seem to be just, there's too much going on compared to redraft. Do you think it is? I mean, during the league itself, you know, during the regular season when you're playing the game, it's still a weekly game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You set your lineup the same way. I feel like it kind of depends on the league to if you trade more during season and dynasty or not. I think that's all about the same, personally. What do you think there?
Well, yeah, I think it's about the same, especially once the season starts, like you said. I mean, it's going to be the same as redraft. You're going to have that couple guys that are always trying to get trades done, and you're going to have those guys that are content with their team, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that it's more dedication. I don't know if it's more time consuming, though.
I mean, I would say it's more time consuming just because if you're in a redraft league right now, you're itching for August to get here. So you can start mock drafting and stuff. Like, we're obviously still doing it. Like, trades are happening and, you know, every day in most leagues, or, you know, a couple of weeks, something like that, in just about every dynasty league out there. So, sure, it's more time consuming that way, but it's, you know, I don't know. It's, is it a lifestyle change? I guess, but it's kind of fun. Like, it's, I don't know. That's why people at work are like, man, you're just always talking football. And like, I want to draft, you know, they're like, I want to do a draft. I can't wait till draft season. And I was like, well, sweet. 'Cause I got one coming up, you know, in just a couple of months right after the NFL draft. And I'm like, what do you guys think about this trade I just made? And they're like, why are you trading right now? And I'm like, why not?
Why
like,
aren't I, you?
Right. I have players and they have players I like more. Like, I got to find a way to get those. So don't make me bring up the tie trade you sent me. I did put that out there on Twitter. I
that wasn't even a real trade. That's not even fair.
That was so funny. I didn't include a name. Just, most people don't know what I'm talking about right now. So
no, but I see that you finally rejected it at least.
I did right before we went on because I didn't realize I hadn't rejected it yet. I thought about letting it sit for a little while just in case something happened, but I don't want all that.
There's a player on your team that you've let me know a couple times that you don't even like, and that I'm in, and I'm after him in two leagues, and you won't even deal with me.
I just traded for him from you.
So, guys,
during the season,
another thing about Dynasty: when opportunity knocks, you open that door. You don't close it in somebody's face, especially if they want your shitty pie.
Don't let them hamster you.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't get hamstered.
Don't get hamstered.
That's a reference into me holding on to Doug Martin for forever.
And everybody wanted Doug Martin from this guy last year. Finally moved him. I think you did pretty good.
I did. I mean, like I think I texted you. I got a flex-worthy, startable piece. You know, you know, week in, week out kind of deal for him. So even if he pops off now, I'm okay with what I did.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't have got that much for him, but the person getting him had a surplus of wide receivers. So
I don't know. I think it was pretty accurate. I don't know. Martin could have an okay year. I don't know. I don't think it was that far off or anything. I think it was a fair deal.
Yeah, I don't think it's as crazy as the person that got Doug is telling me that, you know, I robbed them. They're the one that put it out there. So,
and I like what you got, and I'm not trying to knock it, but I'm not a huge Rishard Matthews guy, so I don't feel like...
Well, neither am I.
Yeah, but I'm just saying I feel like it was a solid deal. Like, Martin could have a decent year, maybe, and so could Rishard Matthews. You know, who knows? So, yeah, I don't think it was too crazy.
I want to get into during the startup draft. All right, so we figured it out. We've got our roster construction down. I'm not going to pigeonhole us with one here as we answer some of these, just to kind of keep that a little more loose. But we're into the roster now, or we're into the startup draft now. All the players are available. Does it pay to draft player positions first, like a legit RB1 or a wide receiver one? How do you approach this? I like this one because me and you are usually very different on this kind of thing.
I mean, it depends on the players, but I'm hoping that my running backs are there or they fall. After that, there's three wide receivers I'll take, and then we'll go back to running backs.
So,
did that answer your question, even? Or?
No, I gotcha. I guess it was just more along the line to, you know, we've seen, you know, wide receivers tend to kind of dominate the top of most dynasty rankings. Is that more, you know, just longevity of that wide receiver, you know, being able to sustain that higher position? You know, running backs have a little bit shorter lifespan in the NFL itself as a whole.
I think that's part of it, yeah.
So
I think that a lot of people like to get those wide receivers just because of the lifespan.
And that's usually how I kind of tend to approach things. But me and you had a startup last year. In a dynasty where I picked two overall, David Johnson went one, and I took Zeke two. That's definitely outside of my norm, but I did that, you know, just Zeke so young, and it was one of those where it's like, well, I can kind of set that and forget it and then kind of really attack wide receiver and other positions, you know, kind of moving forward. And then I still happen, you know, that startup draft included rookies, which is definitely a little, you know, definitely a little different than we were talking about before, but yeah. I was able to hit on some of those later guys, you know, to kind of bring that back around, you know, rookies a little bit later. So I guess it's all going to depend on where you draft, you know, in that startup draft too. So I don't know, maybe one of these next couple of episodes that we do, we should do a mock startup, you know, dynasty draft. I think would be a good kind of tie all this in.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Together.
And my thing with wide receivers is like, because you can get Odell Beckham Jr. and you've got that amazing ceiling, and his floor is very similar to his ceiling. And then I think the difference with like a wide receiver two or a low end wide receiver one is the floor gets lower. The ceiling's always kind of there, but the floor keeps getting a little lower. And like I've mentioned in the past, I'm fine with playing for that ceiling and hoping that I play the right wide receiver week to week to get that ceiling. I mean, yeah. When they hit their floor, it's rough, you know. But now the running back floor, like, I just think is a little higher all the time. Still some duds, don't get me wrong. But
sure.
In that top.
When you're talking about that top side. Yeah, I would agree.
I don't know. You take somebody like Antonio Brown this year and then give me Davante Adams with Todd Gurley, I'm happy as hell, you know?
Right. For sure. Although Todd Gurley currently, I have ranked third in dynasty ranks and the first running back off the board.
So you got Knuck, Odell Beckham Jr., and then Gurley?
Yep. And it's actually OBJ 1.
Okay.
Hopkins 2, Gurley.
Yeah, I get it, though. I really do.
But I think that's probably a pretty decent jump for Gurley, you know, just from last year. I want to say he was probably closer to that 10, 12, maybe even a little bit farther range.
Yep.
Even in dynasty startups, but it was more Jeff Fisher problem, I would say.
Yeah.
But, all right. How about, and this is, it's going to sound stupid, but because I know where you're going to go, but do you draft to win now or build for the future?
You draft to win now.
It's the startup. It's the very first time.
Yeah.
Win it right now.
Yep. I think when
you don't know if you're not going to compete yet. You know what I mean? It's different, you know, week 8, 9 when you realize you're out.
Totally agree. Now, to your point that you don't know if you're going to compete yet, in my startups, I like to stay a little younger than other people. Now, I'm not afraid to get like a 28-year-old guy, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not going to try to stay super young, but I don't want Larry Fitzgerald on my teams.
Let's say
until I know I'm doing good.
Okay.
Then I'm going to start to trade for those players. When I feel like, all right, we're making a push here. Like, we got a serious chance. Like, what do you want for Frank Gore? You know, like, start going to get those pieces. I don't mind having them at that point to take me to the end, but I don't want to have Frank Gore on my 10th place team.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What about, so back up just a hair there. So startup this year, like you're getting ready to do one.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Green, who's 29, or Tyreek Hill, who's 23.
I mean, I would take him in. I would take Tyreek Hill in a redraft over AJ Green.
And AJ Green is 3 spots currently ahead in ADP of Tyreek Hill.
That's silly.
For dynasty ranks. So just, and it's just one site. That's the other thing I would say is if you're going into it, definitely do research prior.
Who would you take in redraft, dude? Now that I know we're talking dynasty this week, but redraft your pick today.
Redraft between those two,
AJ or Tyreek?
I think I'm going to go AJ Green, man. Huh. I am very fascinated in Tyreek Hill and Mahomes. I wonder if they don't bring another piece in.
I'm with you.
We didn't. Tyreek Hill didn't have another true wide receiver to compete with against this year.
He's got Travis Kelce.
Very true. And I totally get that. I wonder if there isn't another piece coming, whether draft or free agency, to really help out Mahomes. Not necessarily try to hurt Hill or Kelce, but you know what I mean? Really solidify that.
Does it have anything to do with Mahomes?
It it does a little bit to me, which might be weird because I see everybody going nuts about how Mahomes is set up for Tyreek Hill because Mahomes' arm is huge and Tyreek is obviously a freak and fast.
But we still haven't seen it.
True. And I like Mahomes, you know, coming out. I had Mahomes ranked, you know, well above Trubisky, you know, in rookie ranks, you know, freshman rookie ranks last year. And I still kind of like that just because we haven't seen it. It's a little bit more the unknown. Although I expect good things out of Trubisky this year too, with what they're doing there. Same scenario. I bet they bring somebody around too, but not trying to jump on you there. But real quick, what about the other side there in Kansas City? And it was Albert Wilson, DeMarcus Robinson, deep dynasty here for sure. But is that a piece you would want to go get cheap?
Maybe.
That matures there on the other side.
It could. And I mean, it's always good to be patient with those pieces in dynasty. Yeah, they're pretty free. Huh. So I'm still just torn though.
In dynasty, I would take Hill. I totally agree with you there. But
what if John Ross does good this year? Is that similar to them getting another wide receiver to put next to Tyreek?
It's a similar point, sure, because they did not use him at all, and he wasn't healthy for much of it, and there was that stupid talk at the end of the year that Marvin Lewis wanted to. I think Ross might be a huge dud miss. You know?
Could be, yeah, sure.
Maybe a lot more than even Mike Williams, who also did nothing this year. But some of the concern with John Ross coming in was that he was and then had shoulder surgery and just never seemed to really be right during the season, always dealing with something. Maybe, you know, maybe that is true, and we just don't ever really see it come to life. I'm not as worried about John Ross for AJ Green. Just, redraft. I it's very close.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Obviously,
sure. Obviously,
when we come to draft, hopefully for redraft, we had seen some games, you know, and see what Mahomes Hill connection looks like. A lot of moving pieces between now and then.
No, again, total hypothetical, but I mean, these are I kind of like this situation we brought up. So let's take out Dalton and put in AJ McCarron. What if that happens? What if? I know it's total what if, but
yeah, I don't know that it's that much of a downgrade, to be honest. Enough to just swing that the other way.
Yeah, but it's still somebody that hasn't been on the field as much. It's
you'd love to see that connection kind of mature during.
It's kind of more similar to the Mahomes situation, I guess. That you know what I mean. Both receivers changing their quarterbacks, stuff like that.
Yeah, but it'd be very interesting if Kansas City brought another, you know, name wide receiver to be on the other side of there.
Yeah, definitely.
Really see what that offense can do, since apparently Alex Smith can't do it.
Yeah. We'll see.
I don't know. I agree with that either.
Got a decent deal going for him now.
Right. Which is gross. That's a little even more off topic, but Mahomes or Alex Smith worth
what?
Dynasty one quarterback. Mahomes or Alex Smith worth more right now? One quarterback.
I think Mahomes probably is worth more.
Yeah.
And I have one share, dude. I kind of want to move him. Like, in that league that I have all those quarterbacks, because I feel like what direction can he go right now? Only down. That's it. I mean, you could get in, especially a one quarterback league where if you're not desperate, get what you can get, in my opinion, because right now people are paying like he's going to be Watson, and they haven't even seen the dude play much.
Yeah, top 10 quarterback, it feels like what everybody's got him projected out easy.
You know what I mean? So if you can get something similar to that value, and he does that good, I'm fine with that. If you get something similar to that value and he totally tanks, I'm so glad I got out. And I'm not saying the dude's going to tank, but I'm saying people are buying and selling this guy on total speculation.
Nope, I totally agree there. If you had both, this is a little less newbies here, but a lot of dynasty teams last year kind of made the move when they had Alex Smith and acquired Mahomes or drafted him. Now you have two startable pieces. Do you know, let's say it's a super flex league and you have another quarterback that's start worthy too. Do you move Mahomes or Alex Smith, whichever one gets you more? Do you feel, you know, do you feel more comfortable with one than the other, knowing that you have to start them every week next year?
I think the window to get the most that you can for Alex Smith is over.
I don't know where we were.
I said I feel like the window to sell high on Alex Smith kind of closed.
Okay. I'm gonna agree and kind of jump off of that.
Like, I think it was that quick. I think it was a glitch in the system.
Okay.
And I think you can still sell. I think you can. Oh, we're talking. Yeah, we're good. I think you can still sell Alex Smith though, but I think that it's going to be more challenging now.
Anymore.
Yeah, no, I think every now and then there's these things that happen in Dynasty where a window opens, and that window doesn't always necessarily increase the value of a player, but it makes it easier for you to get rid of him. Sometimes it increases it. Sometimes you might get a couple weird picks for Alex Smith and feel sort of guilty about it. You never know.
Truthers come out every now and then, and maybe it's time to capitalize. You know, if you don't completely agree or just want to get out, like you say, and get some picks.
Yeah.
Rather strike when the needle is lukewarm than rather, you know, and not hot. Don't let it hamster you.
So, yeah.
I'm using that from now on. So that was funny. So do you think it's better to draft upon, you know, recent performance, or at some point during that startup draft, do you just do it based on perceived value of others, you know, when you're starting to fill it out? Where do you draw that line, or how do you – I mean, BPA, best player available.
Yeah, you know,
you got the roster's going.
The one thing I want to say, and we said this with the quarterbacks too, as long as you're not trading like for trade bait, I don't have a problem with it. Like, I don't want to like take this player because I'm like, oh, he's so much more valuable than this guy, and then take him and maybe his value wasn't as high as I thought it was, and now I'm stuck with him. I'd way rather take the guys that I imagined valued a little bit less that I want, because I'm building my team.
Exactly. I want the guys that I want on my team.
Yeah, so I will try to speculate on what, say, you are doing, and that might affect how I pick. Like, Two drinks, got four wide receivers. He needs a running back. I'm taking you know what I mean? I can wait for this or for that, but I'm not going to ever take a guy I don't want. You know, and we've all done it. We've all
it. For sure.
But I'm going to try my best to stay to my strategy going in. And as long as you're not trading for trade bait, I'm fine, though. You know what I mean? Like, skipping around a little bit. You might overvalue somebody. Other people might undervalue somebody. I'm going in and...
So,
go ahead.
Are you able to take personal fandom off the table when you draft? Or should you? You know, or when making trades like that? You know what I mean? Like, we all know you're a huge girly fan, but you're also a Detroit Lions guy. You know, will you not own Lions, or you're in so many, so it's a little different there. You know what I mean? But
it's funny.
You hold on to those personal guys a little bit longer, or is it all about that equity?
I value Todd Gurley more than any Detroit Lion. But I just mean, it's like, if you come to me with a pretty fair value for Todd Gurley, it's going to be harder for you to get Todd Gurley than it would be get Marvin Jones.
Yeah. Right.
And it's not, I've made it a point from playing fantasy so long, I'm really good at not caring about Detroit Lions, Detroit Pistons, whatever sport we're playing. I'm very good at just making them players. Todd Gurley,
it helps, but they're not good either.
it definitely helps, dude. It definitely helps. But even in the Megatron days, it helps. No, you're absolutely correct. Even in the Megatron days, though, because the thing with Calvin Johnson is, and he was special, so he's a bad example, but. So we're going to use Golden Tate, but the thing with Golden Tate is, if I do have him on my team, I'm probably going to value him a little bit more than you. And I like to trade so much that I don't want to get stuck with that overinflated value that I've been the one to inflate. So okay. I'm probably not going to even mess with them and just let you have them. And then it's funny too, because a lot of times people will get a hold of Lions and they'll be like, hey, I'll give you Marvin Jones. And it's just like, dude, why would I give you the guy? I took two spots in front of Marvin Jones for Marvin Jones. Like, oh, right. I thought you were a Lions fan. Yeah. But like, I could have taken him there. So it's kind of funny. Right. You get a lot of that too, but yeah, I kind of try to avoid them, dude. I had my Ameer Abdullah boner last year. I got way on board with that, like a lot of people did, because it would have been fun to have a Detroit running back hit. But I try hard, dude, to not let that get to me. In the past, you've been able to get Stafford pretty cheap, even in like homer leagues, but his price has been going up recently, so people are finally catching on.
Gotcha.
He's the only line I want, dude. I mean, quite honestly, you know, Galladay, I'm very interested in Dynasty. You know that. But Stafford's and Stafford's fun to own, dude. Stafford's like a cheap, like QB1. I'm totally fine with Stafford.
Gotcha. So, Dynasty ADP, real quick, just for, you know, for 2018, Ameer Abdullah, who is 24. Or Seattle's Chris Carson, who's 23.
I'm taking a risk on Chris Carson.
And I know how that pains you there, too, just because of how we're talking about that. But I think I agree with you there, just because I think we said a few episodes back, I don't think I'm going to get bit by Ameer Abdullah again.
Well, and if... I don't know.
And Carson's a couple spots ahead, so Carson's play at the land is correct.
Yeah, and he flashed some, like, he looked pretty decent. And I think that, all right, like, he's been in the league 3 years, Ameer.
Right.
He's not a wide receiver.
Right.
And as much as I wanted him to hit, you know, same with guys like Isaiah Crowell, like, he's not a wide receiver. If they couldn't figure it out in their first couple of years, and it's not like, and I know that I'm, like, giving a little bit of a unfair rule here to Derrick Henry, but it's not like Ameer had DeMarco Murray in front of him. And, and with that said, this is only Henry's third year we're coming into here, but a running back shouldn't need 3 years to hit. Like, we have a pretty good idea at this point of what Ameer Abdullah is. At least Chris Carson, we can still speculate.
All right. I'm going to challenge you just a little bit here. Another 24-year-old running back. Kenneth Dixon or Ameer Abdullah?
I would take Dixon.
The unknown, no tread basically on the tires other than some injuries.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little bit more patient to the injuries. And again, like he's had two kind of years where they've kind of been lost. And and he's just now going into that third year. So, yeah, I'll take Dixon, dude.
Okay, he's a few spots the other way on Ameer, but I like it because of the age comparison and kind of not getting much out of him.
I don't love that Shanahan other dude. I don't know why in my head
there's like Collins. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, he won't really talk up Collins a whole lot.
Yeah,
so
that's probably good for your Dixon hype then, or they bring somebody else in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like they got to bring somebody else in, but I'd like to see them roll with Collins and maybe Dixon as a third down roll and say goodbye to those other guys there.
Yeah, Dixon's not a small dude either. We'll see, man.
That's very true. Super cheap right now in Dynasties. If you're listening and are in a bunch of Dynasties, maybe we're trying to see if you can't get Dixon thrown in. There's still some truthers holding on to him too, but he might be pretty easy to get, you know, just as a throw-in deal as well. So,
yep.
Man, I definitely have lots more questions because I had some awesome participation, but I feel like that's probably a decent amount for this one. I have a lot of, like, more draft questions, a lot more involving rookie stuff coming up, which is definitely something I'm excited to get into more here in the near future as we got the combine coming up here pretty soon. But I want to just big shout out to a couple people from my work. One guy, Dr. Bluefinger. That's what I call him. A couple of people at Third Eye ENT, at the Casey Kasem, others on Twitter, and then some serious love from the Fantasy Life app at Added Up, at Dale687. Little shout out to Ripple there. I wonder if that's Ripley, but I'm going to blame Dale on that one. So I appreciate all those people. Anybody else listening, if you have more Dynasty questions, feel free to hit me up at SF_breakdown. DM me. I would love to answer those, get them on the next pod, something like that. But I think it's time, buddy.
Let's do it.
I got the Dynasty and Super Bowl edition of the 2-minute breakdown for you. All right. Do you have your timer ready?
I do.
And there might be a little bit of silliness in here too, but you know me.
Keep it serious.
And now, your 2-minute breakdown.
Kirk Cousins, more valuable right now, not knowing landing spot, even though it's rumored to be Denver, or would you wait until he signs and then try to cash out? Timer.
I would wait until he signs and then try to cash out, but it's only because of that. Like I said earlier, I think there's those windows where it's just easier to move somebody with less dicking around. I don't think his value is going to go up much. So if you can move him for fair value, move him. But I think the time is to wait until that news hits and people get excited about that stuff.
Great job going fast. Dynasty ranked value, Mahomes or Trubisky? More valuable.
Oh boy. Right, pass.
Favorite Super Bowl food or snack?
Man, probably like some wings or nachos.
What would your XFL jersey name be on the back?
Swagzilla.
An easy one.
That's easy.
Dynasty, Josh Dotson or Corey Coleman right now?
Dotson.
How much would you pay for a ticket to the Super Bowl if the Lions are in it?
Good question. I don't know a lot.
Mixon. Mixon finishes as RB what in PPR 2018?
RB11.
Justin Timberlake halftime. First song will be I Got a Feeling or Anything Else?
Anything Else.
Wrong. More college career receiving yards, Julio Jones or Calvin Ridley?
Ridley.
More receiving yards goes to Ridley. Non-Lions NFC North player you would want to have lunch with?
A non-Lions player I'd want to have lunch with?
Yeah, from the NFC North.
Jordan Howard.
Gross. Super Bowl score.
I want to have it out with the guy. I want to know who he thinks he is. Super Bowl score 27-20. Philly. That is definitely not because I like Philly fans, though. Did you leave me again?
What the shit?
Did you hang up on me?
I did not.
You didn't like my score?
I hated your score, and you said Philly.
I said Philly, but I let you know.
No, I hope you're right.
I said that I don't like the Philly fans.
Gotcha. I might have hung up before that.
Yeah, I thought that's why you hung up on me. I didn't mean you.
That'd have been an awesome ending.
Yeah.
We still have more questions. Who will retire first, Brady or Belichick?
Brady.
How long before that happens?
I think he'll retire pretty soon. I don't know. This year or next year, man. It's around the corner.
Dynasty value rank, Mahomes, Trubisky.
Oh, yes. Man. Value, I'll take Mahomes. I don't know which I'd rather have, but I think the value right now on Mahomes is higher.
Okay. What's worse than ants in your pants?
Crabs in your pants?
Uncles.
Uncles
in your pants.
That too is worse. You would
That's
know.
All I got. Why you gotta go there?
You can find me on Twitter at DFFswag _ at DFF_swag. Blah, blah, blah. What were you going to say?
I don't know. You asked it all up, just like all of this episode. FL 2-drink minimum, or more importantly, at FF_breakdown. That's how you do it correctly when you want people to find out where you are. Come DM me. Hit me up. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Even if you are not a noob to the Dynasty world, we're going to get into more of those questions. So if you got more out there and you're listening, hit me up. For everybody that did, I really appreciate it. appreciate it. By
the time this is out, I won't have any shares of Odell Beckham Jr.
Nice. You're getting that move in FU, huh?
I don't know. We'll see what happens here.
Are you still wanting to talk to me? You got somebody else going? Because it's not happening.
I don't know. We'll see. It depends on when you want this release, I guess.
You're not going to release it until you move over to your fans. You're holding hostage. What a dick.
My man.
All right, so OBJ and Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry for Zeke and Kamara. And my one ball.
No. That's a lot. You're getting best player in the trade, dude. You don't get all my players. No, I might argue that. I mean, Zeke, we'll put Zeke and Odell Beckham Jr. pretty even.
Okay.
And but how come you need Cook and Henry?
Because I'm giving you two running backs.
But I'm giving you Odell Beckham Jr.
Who's the oldest out of all of those. And a prima donna who...
Got any shares?
Can I hold out? Do I have any shares of OBJ?
Yeah.
I do not.
Kind of fun. I don't think he holds out, though. Do you?
I don't know, man. He has talked about for a long time that he wants not max wide receiver dollars, but max NFL dollars. Yeah. He's not going to get that. And the latest conversation was that they are not even close in contract discussion. You know, during the Pro Bowl, we heard that Lev Bell and Jarvis Landry are both close in contract discussions with their own teams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get why they would say that if that's not true. Like, it doesn't help them at all in bargaining, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With another team or that team, if that's not actually true. So I'm going to at least, you know, believe that that's partially true or working towards it. For OBJ to come out and say they're not even close, like, got to be a little concerning.
Yeah.
No?
I think they'll pay him.
It'll be interesting to see what that market is set at, because that's not only going to affect him, but franchise dollars, you know, for wide receiver are going to astronomically go up just by one player.
Yep.
So, other GMs might be looking to the Giants to not make that crazy either. You know what I mean? The same wide receiver, like A-Rob, gets franchised. Holy crap, the number that could go up could be 4 or 5 million just by one player. That might be a little extreme, but still, that's huge.
Man,
that could mean receivers that were going to get franchised won't now and be moved on.
Yeah, which could
be that might be a little extreme, but
I hate the franchise tags, to be honest with you.
I would agree, but I hate players holding out and
then give them a deal.
And sure, but it's who is setting the deal. I mean, it's different. I love it when players go and outperform their contracts and then ask for more money or don't play, but that's the contract you sign. But when you have a shitty year or injured, you're not going to get money back. So there's definitely, you know what I mean?
The only good thing...
Honestly, it comes down to contracts don't mean crap. At any point, it seems like both sides can walk, do whatever they want.
Yeah.
So it's a little weird that they go through all this hoopla to do it anyway. It seems like both sides can get out if they want them.
It seems like it's usually easier for the ownership to get out, though.
Team, for sure.
Which I think that needs to... I don't know. Even kind of like we were saying about Watkins, as silly as it sounded, like, yeah, that we can have these stipulations in my contract, but you got to throw the ball to me this many times.
Right.
Like, they have so much control of players' destinies, honestly. Like, I don't know, man. And I mean, I guess I don't think I'd have such a big problem with the franchise tag if you could only do it one time. I don't know.
But you can do it forever.
Yep.
That little next year, you know, tax basically that you have to add to it for doing it again. But yeah.
But some of these players, I mean, you have to imagine at a certain point, though, it's not always just about money. At a certain point, I think these people, like it's what they are. I think that they want to know they have a certain amount of stability within this city and this team. You know what I mean? They don't want to be every year. Seriously, every year. I mean, it's a job, and I know that they're well off, the players that are talking about holding out and whatnot. So I know that they're in a totally different life than us. But like it or not, that still is their job, their livelihood. It affects their family, everybody around them. They should not have to go through that every year.
Sure. And then you sign a big deal, and then you get shipped out.
Sure.
We'll go full circle and come back to Blake.
Definitely. Yeah.
Didn't you sign that in the summer or the summer before, like 5-6 years, like be the face franchise kind of deal?
So. Yeah, I know what you mean. No.
Yeah. Dynasty newbies and Blake Griffin all in the same one. Who knew? That's what you get here. And you're welcome. We out.
Definitely.
I get...
You left like me this. For a minute.
I did? No, I didn't.
Bye.
I'm still here. I won't leave you.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
What's up, man?
So.
Go. So.